Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
This angel spread his wings. Inside were gemstones.
He would punch people that were dying.
He was punching the demonic spirit behind the sickness.
But I felt like God said, bring up the vampire squad.
The Holy Spirit has been massively blasphemed and abused for decades. And where is the outrage?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bye-bye, 35 million evangelical youth. This is Wretched Radio. A new study pointing to what appears to be obvious. We are going to lose 35 million youth group kids by the year 20.
Todd. Hey.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how are you?
Doing a radio program.
Well, let me interrupt
you. Kind of a big deal here. The evangelical youth, they're kind of slip-sliding away.
Well, speaking of the evangelical youth, or Gen Zers, as they're called, Mike and I have been doing some talking.
Oh,
and
boy.
We've got a great idea for a radio bit.
A skit.
Yeah,
skit. So you would be the wretched players presenting something satirical, perhaps, that will pack a punch so that we can learn an important lesson.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm all ears.
This is going to help stop the bleeding of the youth out of our church today. It's going to be great.
Well,
so imagine this.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Hey, Mr. Lifeway Boss Man, I got a brand new product I want to present to you. It's this Gen Z Bible Devo that's going to take Scripture and turn it into their language.
What do you mean, their language?
Okay, so just take, for example, let's just take the first verse, Genesis 1:1.
Okay.
All right, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What if we went more De Uno, Cap G, sandcastles, big sky, little rock?
Cap G.
Cap G.
What?
It's a capital G, God, obviously.
So how in the how will this improve our bottom line? How will it help us reach the kids?
Reasonable question. So I got a good press release. It'll sound something like this. So because Lifeway has such a high view of Scripture, we're going to trash the Bible so that the kids will love the Word the way that we do. This is going to make us a fortune.
Okay,
it's going to be great.
Okay. God, fellas.
Yeah.
Wow. Love the effort. Love that you're willing to just interrupt the broadcast to bring something. Apparently, how long have you been working on this?
About 15 minutes.
Let me help you understand satire. There must be a nugget of truth, something inside of it that it's like, okay, well, that's plausible. But if you make something so ridiculous, even satire can't cause a person to go, that's funny. They just think, no, that's just too ridiculous. It's not funny. You cross the line with your Cap G Little Rock shebang business or whatever that blasphemy was supposed to be.
So that's a no.
But thanks.
Never let
I
us
told
do
you
anything.
God wouldn't approve it.
Wow. 35 million youth are expected to leave Christianity by the year 2050. A study from people with apparently a lot of free time and extra cash. Compiled from Pew Research Center's Religious Landscape Study, the Baylor Religion Survey, also from Public Religion Institute, and Gallup Annual Religion Surveys concludes by the year 2050, this is not satire, 35 million evangelical youth will leave Christianity. These are not the unchurched. These are churched kids saying, bye-bye, what is going on in our churches? Furthermore, Christianity in America will make up 59% of the population. That's down from 73. The number of nuns, N-O-N-E-S's, it's growing radically. The report indicating we are shrinking fast, and mostly Gen Z, the evangelical youth. What a tragedy. I don't know. I have nothing to offer, though. I can't tell you why this is happening. I got nothing. Broke.
You really didn't see what
Busted.
The latest news was?
Busted. Let's just carry on with the latest news. Lifeway has introduced the Gen Z Bible. You've got to be kidding me. I thought this was a bit. Oh, look. Recently, in partnership with Sunday Cool, the creators of the popular YouTube series with Cool Carl. Who's Cool Carl, you ask?
Hey there, you little chicken nuggets. It's me, Carl.
That's Cool Carl. And he is leading the Gen Z Bible translation, a 30-day devotional journey. The Word, according to Gen Z, Guys, I owe you an apology.
Suddenly, we don't sound so ridiculous.
I am so sorry. I thought it was just a dumb idea for a skit, and it turns out to be reality.
Real life.
We do our research.
What do you know? Maybe this would explain why we're losing 35 million kids by the year 2050. Cool, Carl? Really? This is Cool, Carl?
Hello. Hi.
So this is Cool Carl, intended to reach your youth, courtesy of Lifeway. This is the Gen Z Bible translation. Dude with long hair, a beard, apparently tattoos on his hands, and a nose ring, who looks like, oh, I'm guessing he's about 33, 35, not even inside of the demo, is announcing a new Bible translation, you know, to make Christianity cool and relevant.
Gen Z translation, I can't believe this. If the KJV was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for them. I declare this canceled.
Can't just say it's canceled and expect.
That is Cool Carl doing a spoof introduction, introducing the Gen Z Bible translation. And if you thought Mike and Jimmy's satire was too ridiculous, Mike, read the Genesis 1:1 again. This is the Bible Z or Gen Z translation.
Day uno, cap G, sandcastles, big sky, little rock.
Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense.
It certainly does. If you think the kids are complete and utter morons, this is yet another. No, it's not another. This is just emblematic of most youth groups for the last 30 or 40 years in America. Why are we losing the kids? We all shouldn't be scratching our heads, unless, of course, you need head and shoulders. Otherwise, it's quite obvious. A Bible translation intended to make the word so unintelligible because apparently kids can't find glorious language, Holy Spirit-inspired language, to be very interesting. So we create a character called Cool Carl. And wow, he sure is cool, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Wow, he's
relevant.
I wasn't interested in bowing the knee to Jesus, but now that Cool Carl has come along with the Gen Z Bible translation.
Hi, y'all. It's me, Carl. So for thousands of years.
By the way, listen to the cool music. Who do you think put this knuckleheadery together? Do you think maybe somebody, I don't know, in their 50s, who's having a flashback thinking, if we play the Eurythmics from 1983, the kids will think the Bible is cool?
Hi, y'all. It's me, Carl. So for thousands of years, languages have changed, which means translations of the Bible have changed as well.
Yes, they have. But we try to make them more word-for-word formal equivalents, not language like this. I used to be a noob. Now I'm not a noob. Guess what Bible verse that is? Ironically, it's 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. How ironic that it's now I used to be a noob. Now I'm not a noob.
There's tons of different translations for the Bible, ranging from the Old English of King James to the fictitious futuristic language of the Klingons from Star Trek. But
Annie Lennox wants her royalty check and wants her music removed from the Gen Z Bible translation. This is insulting to youth. This is a blasphemous piece of work against the Bible. Would you like to know what Matthew 5, 13, and 14 sounds like? Here it is. Be salty and lit, fam. How's about the night our Savior was betrayed and Peter, in his zeal, tried to cut, well, no, he didn't try. He cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus. And Jesus, of course, said, dude got his ear clapped, and Jesus was like, chill, fam. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. This is a Bible translation.
One translation of the Bible, which I have yet to come across, is a Generation Z translation.
Well, here it is. Moses yeeted the sea. Not by getting that bread so noobs can flex. Go ahead, just guess what verse. Can you guess what verse that is, gentlemen?
I have no clue.
Not by getting that bread so noobs can flex. not by works, so no one can boast.
Well, Ephesians 2:8, 2:9.
That's beautiful.
So join me again on how to translate some scripture into Generation Z language. It's my cousin Brock.
Oh, good.
Thanks for being here, Brock.
Now we introduce the same guy, but he's got an orange cap on, texting with sunglasses on. This is so relevant. This is so cool and hip. The kids, they're going to be beating down the doors of the church. They're going to be just storming the Lifeway bookstores to... Are they still open?
No.
Storming the bookstores to get themselves a copy of the Gen Z Bible so that they can read, "Don't Want Shade, Don't Throw It." He doctors your daddies and band-aids your boo-boos. That, of course, would be Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. He doctors your daddies and band-aids your boo-boos.
Suddenly, Eugene Peterson doesn't seem so crazy.
This is what we think of our kids. This is what we think they need. Some lame 80s spoof taking the glorious, inspired by God Bible and turning it into this ridiculous attempt to win the kids. Really? Is it any wonder why we're going to be losing 35 million youth by the year 2050? Are we really shocked? This is Wretched Radio. And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
129 people commit suicide in the United States each and every day. We all know someone who is in desperate need of help. And as Christians, we have the answer that the world fails to provide. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is Wretched's newest resource, and it tackles this very topic. Next month, September, is National Suicide Awareness Month. Would you visit wretched.org/13 to order your copies of 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and then commit to handing them out to as many lost and hurting people as you can. Every year, 1 million people take their own lives. As a matter of fact, did you know suicide is the third leading cause of death among millennials? It's such an epidemic around the world, and as Christians, we have the word of life, and we should share it with a world that desperately needs it. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide. Available now at wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Just when you think that this organization can't be any more fine, the Masters Academy International, this is a ministry worthy of your consideration and support. Training indigenous pastors now in 17 nations around the globe to efficiently equip men who speak the language, know their communities, know the culture, to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. It is brilliant, it is wise, and it is efficient. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor. But if that doesn't persuade you, they're dedicating a week of prayer, and they're inviting you to join them in praying for indigenous pastors who are under a great deal of pressure and even threats. Please give your consideration to the Masters Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible,
we have the very word of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello there, my fellow chicken nuggets.
Hey, hey, hey! Now you're going to keep listening because we're cool, hip, and relevant. Just like cool Carl.
Hello there, my fellow chicken nuggets.
Oh, man. This is Wretched Radio, one of the... No, I was going to say... most ill-conceived concepts. No, it's not. This is standard youth fare that you are being exposed to. This is typical of what goes on in youth groups. The voice that you just heard was that of Cool Carl from Sunday Cool. Because we've got to make Sunday cool, because otherwise the kids won't think Jesus is cool. And then we'll lose even more than the 35 million projected youths expected to walk out the door of youth group and never return. Is it any wonder that we are losing millions of kids because we have dumbed down everything, disrespected, dishonored, and frankly sinned against them by creating disgusting games, gross-out games, icebreaker games that are absolutely offensive and in some instances, frankly, in my opinion, criminal. And this is now the latest attempt to try to stave off the bleeding. The Gen Z Bible stories from Lifeway to make the Bible the glorious Bible that you and I love and esteem, that God, with no little effort, went about the business of inspiring so that we could read Psalm 34. I Marco Polo'd Cap G, and he didn't leave me on red and snatched up all my scaries. Wow, I feel so comforted, and I...
all your scaries.
I feel so protected by this sovereign God who's so cool that Psalm 119 says, I got your holy scripts padlocked in my chest thumper.
Chest thumper.
Yeah. Now people are going to love Jesus. Yesterday, I listened to a sermon. It was the live stream from John MacArthur's Grace Community Church, where he presented Jesus Christ as Lord. I believe in the book of Acts, give or take, 92 times he is referred to as Lord, twice as Savior. Are we starting to perhaps get the picture that God isn't just our knock-around chum who hopes that we'll think he's groovy enough to hang with on a Sunday cool morning? But that he is our Lord, he is our God, he is our master, and we are sit down for this biblical language, doulos, always translated, not servant, slave. Why? Because he is our Lord and he owns us. And in John 13, as MacArthur so brilliantly pointed out, it was a night of love. And constantly, repeatedly, Jesus told them, because I love you. Because I love you, and I want you to have love for one another. I want you to have the love that the Father and I have. It was an evening of love, and he said to them, not only do I call you slaves, I call you friend. That the slaves have been brought near. We now have intimate information about our master, and we have a relationship that is, yo, tight. It is profoundly intimate. And it is the type of relationship that is even described in Exodus chapter 12 when the slave who was so delighted with his master, who would protect and love the slave's family, he would decide, this is the relationship I want to be in. It was a voluntary slavery. Put an awl, A-W-L, through my ear. Mark a physical marking on my ear so that everybody will know I belong to you because you're my master and my friend. That's what Jesus describes, because he is our Lord, and he wants us to live as obedient slaves who have been brought near, because he isn't just our bud. He's not just a dude. He's our Lord.
So you're saying, Todd,
there's
an issue when I'm praying to the Lord, and I say, sup, God? What's up, fam? There's an issue there?
Because he's your daddy? Look, I get it. We have been brought near. And that is what the amazing part of that verse is. We're now a friend. But that doesn't mean we're irreverent. It doesn't mean that we are just... He's street level.
Hello there, my fellow chicken nuggets. It's me, Carl. Good to see y'all again.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're gonna go old school. How old school? Old Testament old school. Old Testament old school. That's pretty old.
That's. Oh man, this is, the kids. They're gonna be repenting all over
the place.
That's
right, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna be retelling some of the most popular and bizarre stories from the Bible.
Don't like the word bizarre.
And who better tell you these stories than me? Carl. Me. What? Me. I'm better. I mean, I wouldn't say you're better. Okay, boomer. I'm not a boomer. I was born in the...
Let's get it!
Okay, that's his sidekick, who actually happens to be himself. I believe his name is Brock. So you got Cool Carl and Brock, both 30-somethings with caps on, with tattoos, because that's, of course, demonstrates you've got a story and a testimony. We are now going to revisit the story of the 10 plagues. Music alone is going to win people to the Lord.
All right, so here's the tea. A few thou ago, my dude Mo started finally listening to Cap G after seeing a super lit leaf basket. Super lit leaf basket? Burning bush. Keep up, nose ring.
I mean, you have a nose ring too.
So Mo brings his bro Ace Squared to E-Town to help out all the dudes that are in bondage who are straight up not having a Gucci time. But they go first to the boss man, Pharaoh, who contrary to popular belief, is not fair, bro. Wait, who's Ace Squared? My dude Aaron. Oh. Because of the two A's.
See, this is the irony amongst the other ironies. They actually have to explain their Gen Z language to the Gen Z kids so that they can be cool and hip and relevant. Isn't that what a translation is ultimately supposed to do? Put it in a language where people can understand it? No. This effort to reach the kids, so cool and hip and relevant, is using Gen Z language that actually needs to be interpreted for the Gen Z kids.
So Mo shows Farrell that Cap G sent him. Mo says, yo, let my people go, bro. Bro says no. Mo says, oh.
From the press release announcing this brilliant gem, if you've ever been in student ministry, you know that some of the activities you plan don't always bring about the effect you hope for. And that's what happened in this case. They received so much heat for this nonsense, Lifeways actually pulled it. I say good on them. Problem is, this ill-conceived idea should have never been conceived in the first place. How did this get past an adult? How did anybody who truly has a high view of the Word of God say, yeah, this is how the Bible should be treated, and yeah, this is what it's going to take for the kids to... repent.
So later, Ace Squared took Big Mo's staff and turned the river into blood, and the water dogs died, and the water became no bueno.
Lifeway decided to translate the Bible in an irreverent manner in order to reach Gen Z. This was not the case. That's what some people claim. Well, no, that's exactly what happened here. They say it's under a Bible study, and then they show this guy teaching this verse based on the ESV translation. I'm sorry. All of these YouTube videos, some of them with millions of views, you call it the Bible translation. Yo.
Water dogs? Fish. Why wouldn't you just call them fish?
Great question. Back to the press release. Still, in order to ensure there is no confusion about our reverence or commitment to the authority and seriousness of the scriptures. I'm sorry. Yo. That four legs left the hoof in stall long time ago. That's right. Four legs left the hoof install.
That a horse?
Sounded a little... No worse than this.
Week later, Fabro still won't let the people go because his heart is about as cold as my ex's.
Oh, boom! Laying it down! Pharaoh's heart is cold as my ex's because, you know, that's a relatable reference for the Gen Zers.
He didn't call it a chest thumper.
We take responsibility for the offense and we apologize. Fair enough. Apology accepted. Now, how is it that something like this happened in the first place? How in the world could this get into youth group ministries? How could this get millions of views online? How could this have gone without anybody inside of a massive corporation, which is what Lifeway is, not seeing this and knowing about this and going, Whoa. We're talking about God's word. Our Lord has spoken, and we, his slaves, want to know exactly what he said. And this is not helping with that effort.
Oh, wow. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, I do.
Youth pastor, if you've fallen for this nonsense, repent and start catechizing the kids. Start teaching the kids to love and revere the Word of God. Why? Because it was written by our Lord, and we are his slaves, and we want to hear him rightly when he speaks. And we do not want to blaspheme him by blaspheming the word that he inspired. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, this past Friday, attorneys for the ACLU, which represent a Little Rock abortionist, have asked the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals to rehear a case surrounding four pro-life laws that the Arkansas legislature passed back in 2017. The laws in question refer to dismemberment abortion, sex selection abortion, reporting requirements, and prohibiting buying and selling of aborted babies. And it's sad that we have to have laws in regards to those things. In 2017, U.S. District Judge Christine Baker blocked the state of Arkansas from enforcing these laws following a lawsuit from the ACLU. But earlier this month, a three-judge panel from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals unblocked the laws and then requested Judge Baker reconsider them in light of the U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling in June Medical Services. In its decision, a three-judge panel from the Eighth Circuit unanimously decided that the four laws needed a second look because Chief Justice John Roberts has changed the judicial standards by which abortion laws are measured. The Eighth Circuit Court's decision to unblock the laws has prompted some pundits to accuse Chief Justice Roberts of mounting a stealth attack against Roe v. Wade and speculate that the courts may be closer than ever to dismantling abortion in America. And that is really good news. But unfortunately, a lot of misinformation has circulated about these four pro-life laws. Multiple outlets have wrongly reported that these laws would let a man sue to prevent a woman from having an abortion. A few have even gone so far as to claim that the laws would force rape victims to get permission from their rapists before having an abortion. That, too, is completely false. Nothing in these laws or any other state law would require that. In fact, the Arkansas legislature has passed laws clarifying that rapists have no right to their victims or their victims' children. The Eighth Circuit panel's decision to unblock the laws takes full effect this Friday. That means the state of Arkansas could begin enforcing these four pro-life laws in just a few days unless the court decides to re-enjoin them this week. This lawsuit's been in play for more than 3 years. However, there's a good possibility that the Eighth Circuit will uphold these pro-life laws in Arkansas, and if that happens, it could have a tremendous impact on pro-life legislation nationwide. Well, streaming giant Netflix has a, quote, coming-of-age film called Cuties, and it sparked outrage for its sexualizing of 11-year-old girls who are shown twerking in revealing outfits. The trailer, which Netflix released last Tuesday, stars a 14-year-old who plays the lead character of an 11-year-old and shows interest in joining a twerking dance crew despite living in a strict Muslim household in Paris. Several calls were made for the cancellation of Cuties, including from the Christian advocacy group Parents Television Council. A petition was also started on change.org and has garnered nearly 300,000 signatures. The film premiered at the 2020 Sundance Film Festival in January before being acquired by Netflix. Despite calls for its cancellation, Netflix is still slated to premiere Cuties on September the 9th. What a sad, sad world we're living in. More Wretched Radio still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is the ability to discern between true and false spirits. Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and many false teachers present their lies as God's truth. But God has given us his truth, and he has equipped us to tell true from false in accordance with his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are going to think this program is so relevant. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm lying alone with my head on the phone.
Are you lost in love?
You till it hurts.
Aching for love?
I know you.
Well, you can feel the love right here at Wretched Radio as we introduce you to Big Daddy Love, because we're relevant and cool. We should be absolutely outraged at what is being delivered to our kids as hip and relevant in an effort to make God hip and relevant. Could that be any greater demonstration that we evangelicals are so married to this world that we think in order to make God groovy, we need to bring in 80s music to show the kids, we get it, we're hip just like you? This, to me, is nothing more than a sign of the serious state that we are in, being immersed in a culture that speaks lies to us every single day, encouraging us to love the things of the world. And it appears that we have drunk that Kool-Aid, drunk that Kool-Aid so much that worldly spills out of us into our youth group endeavors and activities, that we would create a Sunday Cool video series featuring Cool Carl, who looks like he was cool about a decade ago. And now he's teaching the kids how to love the word by translating Bible verses like this one, which you'll never guess, by the way. Now, swerved by these scripts, cause Cap G be given that get out of jail free card to the whole fam. That's right. That's Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, it sure would appear that the producers of the Gen Z Bible translation, which is what it says on the videos, are indeed just that. That we have to dress up God with 80s music behind it, and with some young man who's trying to persuade the kids to love Jesus because he's doing skits that, frankly, just aren't that funny. No, they're just not funny. Sorry. They're just not funny.
Well, just consider, Todd.
Yeah.
Salvation is viewed as a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Mm-hmm.
How sad is that?
Well, that's... There's so much about evangelical youth programs that is problematic, and it's been going on for decades. Now, this massive study that was done predicting that 35 million youth are going to leave the church within the next couple of decades, this is what they state, and I actually agree with this. The report calls for churches to, quote, transform youth discipleship, contending that youth ministry models of the last 50 years are no longer effective. They never were. These were never effective. Why do you think that the church is in the state that it's currently in? Why do you think we see zipline pastors? Why do you think prosperity preaching is embraced? Why do we think that movie clips are the norm for a church service sermon? This has been going on for decades, and the kids who were doing gross out games and being introduced to silly Jesus and to silly adults acting inappropriately with children, that now they're the grown-ups. What would we expect from them? We would expect the very thing that we're getting, Cool Carl, for Sunday Cool. Doesn't that just tell you everything you need to know? We've got to make Sunday cool. Otherwise, the kids won't come. Really? So God now needs to be gussied up, watered down, hipped up, put into skinny jeans in order to attract people to church. This is seeker sensitivity. This is youth group gross out games, icebreaker model. This is we've got to make church a show. You got to entertain them, because if you don't, they're not going to stick around. And to that, I would say that's unfortunate. Of course, we want kids to stick around. We want kids to love the Lord. We want kids to grow up and lead their children to the Lord. That's what we want. But if somebody is going to leave a church because, well, it's just not interesting enough. Well, okay. All right. If you don't find the creator of heaven and earth interesting enough, okay, then I guess you can just sit at home and you can watch videos or play some games on your gaming machine.
So do you think that part of the problem might actually be the qualifications that we're looking for in these youth pastors?
Are they?
Yeah, I mean...
No, are they qualified?
Yeah.
What is one of the qualifications for young men, for just being a young man? Being dignified. And that is what one of the qualifications for a Lord's servant is supposed to be, dignified. And so right out of the gate, I'm sorry, cool Carl with his, you know, his cool clothes and his tats and his nose ring and his long hair and his beard and acting goofy and acting silly because he's trying to be cool and hip and relevant for the kids, it's not dignified. And we want our kids to model him. That's what we want. We want our kids to grow up to be cool Carl. So let's just turn over the reins of our children's upbringing inside of the church, because it's mom and dad's primary responsibility, to cool Carl. And to the youth group pastor who said, we need cool Carl. Yes, let's turn over the reins to them. No, let's not. Here's another question. Why do youth group pastors have to be youthful? Wouldn't it be better, just saying, if they were actually mature, sober-minded, dignified, and a standard that we want our kids to meet? Wouldn't that be better? Hey, that's the goal right there. See the old dude? That fellow that we should be calling sir? That's the goal. Not cool Carl. That shouldn't be the goal for our kids. Furthermore, they use really bad grammar. Okay, look, it's a subjunctive, y'all. Think Fiddler on the Roof. If I were, it's not really, if I were, I'm not, but if I were, not was, cool Carl on his videos doesn't even understand decent grammar. If I was something, I can't recall what it was. If I was, oh, here's cool Carl. Hold on. Shh. Here's cool Carl again. He's so cool. He's so Carl. He's so bad at grammar. If I was a youth pastor, no, if I were a youth pastor, would be more appropriate, because you're not, because you don't meet the first qualification for being a youth pastor. And these things, they've got typically tens of thousands. Okay, but really bad youth group names? This one has 107,000 views.
Hey guys, it's me, Carl. Today we're going to be talking about bad youth group names. So let's talk about it.
Relevant music.
Please stand by.
So we all know that there's a ton of youth group names out there, but I was curious how many really bad youth group names are out there in this world. So
all of them. All of them. Why do they have to have a name? How's about, I don't know, youth group? How's about, actually, we change the name youth group. How's about becoming an adult group?
I sent out a post on Facebook asking you guys for really bad youth group names, and boy, did I get a response. So here is a list of my top favorite non-favorite youth group names. These are my least favorite youth group names that I love.
it's so entertaining and amusing. I just have to stop and guffaw for a moment.
I love not liking these names. Here they are. First up on the list.
Without any further ado, 45 seconds into the bit.
Cross-eyed student ministry.
Cross-eyed student ministry.
A lot of people don't know this, but I'm pretty cross-eyed myself. You know, before I got these glasses...
Oh, and see what he did? He crossed his eyes and looked into the camera. Hey, you know what that's gonna do? What he should have said is, that's what's gonna happen to you kids if you're looking at too much pornography. No, I'm kidding. They never talk about something like that. This sin that virtually every kid struggles with who's sitting in a youth group.
Here, I thought everybody had a twin because I was kind of seeing double of everything. But as soon as I got these on, I found out there's a lot less twins in the world. So, number two on the list.
That's funny.
Ooh, I am just, hold on one second. I should have warmed up because I just want to reach down and slap my knee.
Lost and found with an N, not an and. N, that's more trendy, I think.
Ho, 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 said the pot to the kettle. Hey-oh! Cool Carl from Super Cool Sunday School making a joke about people who try to be cool and relevant. What is that smell? Youth pastor, if you have been trying to catechize the youth that God has allowed you to speak to on a regular basis, I would like to encourage you to carry on, to not stop teaching them the Word of God, to not go for these nonsense ideas and trendy concepts, to keep the kids amused and entertained. Stay faithful. You're going to feel the heat, unfortunately, from parents. Keep your eye on the prize, honoring the Lord and encouraging the kids to stop acting like children and to behave like men and women. This is Wretched Radio. What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
So you're sitting around the house, not a whole lot to do. Sports really aren't that interesting right now. So what do? Well, you head on over to wretched.org. The Wretched website contains amazing content. Content like full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. And the Wretched library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. You can also visit our donate page and become a gospel partner. Without the support of our listeners, there would be no Wretched. So if you're already not a gospel partner, would you please consider becoming one? We cannot do this without you. That's wretched.org/donate. We ask for you to prayerfully consider supporting us. Your faithful and consistent support will help Wretched preach the gospel, equip people to preach the gospel, and strengthen the local church. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you got to see this video. Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you got to see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched? See the work that they're doing and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 270 AD. A wealthy young man named Antony gives away his possessions and begins life as a hermit. Disciples follow his example, and the first monastic movement began. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hi there, little chicken nuggets. It's me, Carl. What's up? So some of you are finally coming out of lockdown, and your lives are starting to go back to normal. Huzzah. How exciting. And that means we're going to be going back to church real soon. And with church comes the old greeting time.
Going back to what? This is Wretched Radio. That's Cool Carl, turning Sunday into a cool event for the kids and for the adults as part of our desire to win the youth to the Lord. We've made it silly. We've made it trite. We've made it infantile. And we've made it offensive, but not in the right sort of offensive way. Because of a failure to understand what church is, Cool Carl is created.
So I have a question. It's a legitimate question. So if we want, and you touched on this earlier, but if we want our youth to grow up and act like the older men in the church and the older women in the church, mm-hmm. why are we separating them from the older men and the older women?
There is a movement that would say we should not do that, that we should let the influence of, but they'll have to sit there. They're going to find it boring. They're not going to want to go. Yeah, that's right. And that's what the flesh does. And that's where the parents come in. We have the privilege of going to church. We are suffering from a generation with a low view of the church. This was from Cripplegate, an article titled, "It's Better to Die Than to Skip Church." This demonstrates a higher view of church than what I believe most of the people who are leading these youth group escapades, where we put the kids into a cool, dimly lit room, where we've got some really hip music playing from, you know, Avalon or Stephen Curtis Chapman to show them that we're relevant and hip. And then we do some silly game. There's got to be food. Krispy Kremes. Oh, Krispy Kremes, a youth group staple. And then we teach them about a 2-minute lesson from a dude who looks like he's desperate to return back to his glory days of high school, even if he's 35 or 45. You know, an untucked shirt does not cover a multitude of sins. Nevertheless, Hebrews chapter 10, this is our verse that we have been bandying about a lot lately as the government seeks to keep churches closed down. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints. In this context, those who sin willfully by refusing to attend church is in view. The author of Hebrews is pointing at somebody who doesn't want to go to church every Sunday. He says that those who make it a habit of sinning should be worried about the state of their souls. That is what we should be teaching church is. You don't want to go to church? That is a terrible sign. But now things get fascinating. The author of Hebrews writes this. This is in context with "Do not forsake the assembling of the saints." Remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings by being made a public spectacle through reproachers and tribulations, by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. So the people who, whether they actually got saved or appeared to got saved, they had heard the word of truth, they were going to church, they were getting shellacked for it. And what does the author say? "You showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." What is the author saying? That if you have to choose between going to church, losing your property, or losing your life, you never, ever cede on the former. Better to die and lose everything than to not go to church. That is how we should be viewing Sunday mornings. That is what the privilege of being a member of the kingdom of God is. Going to church with one another to learn, all of us, to learn how to become mature in Christ.
Hi there, little chicken nuggets. It's me, Carl.
And we put our youth into the hands of dudes like this by the millions. And then we go and have our adult chat down the hall because we don't think they're smart enough. We don't think that they have the attention span, even though they can play some video game with their thumbs for hours. No, for days. But we've got to have youth group to keep the lights lit dim. We've got to have the cool music. We've got to have the skinny jean youth pastor. We got to dumb it down for them. No, that is the opposite of the directives that the New Testament gives to men and women. Grow up. And we're doing this.
What's up? So some of you are finally.
Christians need to see Sunday as the greatest moment of their week. The church is an oasis for the soul in which the believers around the world long to gather together to be refreshed by serving one another and by sitting under the preaching of the word. That is how we should be seeing church. that this is the best hour of the week. From D.L. Moody, he said, church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. That's what church should be about. And we need to teach our kids that that's what it's about. Not take away what is hard or what appears to be boring to a youngster. We teach them to love it. We teach them to understand what it is that they're getting. Not to turn it into a silly center, honestly. And you need to know the temptation for youth pastors to do this very thing and for senior pastors to bow to this trend that needs a bullet to the head as fast as possible is immense. These guys are, Mike, you yep. fell into this little dealy bob, didn't you?
I did early on as a youth pastor. Everything we've talked about is spot on.
Gross out games?
Gross out games.
Icebreakers.
Bring the lights down. Let's put the lights on stage.
Did you have a fog machine?
I hate to admit it, but yes.
Yeah, don't let him lie to you. He did.
Okay, wait a second. Hold on.
We called it a mister, but.
Hold on. A what?
A mister.
A mister.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you speak the Gen Z language. Now, by the way, Jimmy, you had mentioned something about Gen Z language that I thought was kind of interesting. You've got teenagers. Are they getting the Gen Z language?
Yes. They were enamored with Cool Carl when I showed them over the weekend.
Ah, because he spoke the Gen Z stuff and it kind of was, it sung to them.
I taught in a private Christian school and the students, the high school students, they spoke that language.
All the time.
All the time.
See, I without being a fuddy-dud, which I am, so it's not like I'm apologizing for what I happily admit, but that's not a good thing. I understand that language can morph and change. I get that. But once you have a codified language, it should be tweaky stuff. If the language suddenly becomes something that is unrecognizable to another generation, you got a major cultural shift going on. And you see it in some of the commercials. Sometimes the commercials, it's like, huh? What are they? What? And then you need to get a teenage interpreter to understand it. But if this is becoming so distinct and it's unrecognizable to another group of people, that ain't a good thing for a culture. Not like we've got any other problems, so I guess this wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But this is the language that they're speaking. And the pressure for you to do that at youth group, I'll bet if you didn't, you'd be losing your job, wouldn't you, youth pastor Mikey?
That actually was the exact pressure. I had an example of a parent who came to me and said that if my kid can't have fun, he'll go to the youth group down the road.
All righty then. Have fun. Where he'll learn some church greetings.
Like coming out of lockdown and your lives are starting to go back to normal. Huzzah. How exciting. And that means we're going to be going back to church real soon. And with church comes the old greeting time. But things have changed. We can no longer greet each other the same old way because of germs and stuff like that. And we don't want to risk going back in quarantine again. That was rough.
Germs and stuff.
Daryl Harrison rightly tweeting, Gen Z should be insulted. Does Lifeway think they're so unintelligent and dense that they don't comprehend the names God and Jesus without needing to dumb it down to Big J and Cap G? What an absolute embarrassing mess. I would like to suggest this so that something fruitful could come out of this catastrophe called the Gen Z Bible translation. Church, why not now? Why not a house cleaning today? Come on. Wait. We respond to concerns about things like germs. We come up with whatever appropriate means necessary to keep people safe from germs. How's about keeping our kids safe from stupidity and such a low view of God that they will never have any idea who the true and living God is, nor his Son, the Christ, our Lord and Master? Maybe now would be a great time when people are returning to church to say, we're doing things differently. We're not going to do youth group. If you choose to segregate people, that's your call. But how's about we don't treat the kids like they're idiots this year or ever again. Instead, we raise up the glorious word of God for what it is, helping them understand it is a privilege to be with God's people in God's house. And we stop abusing them and blaspheming God. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.